I'll be reading from verses 34 to 40. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. Now I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Amen, somebody? Verse 34 of Matthew 22 says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question." Verse 36, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Jesus replied, y'all don't want to miss this, "You must love the Lord your God, listen, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important, love your neighbor," don't miss that, "as yourself." Verse 40, "The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." I want to talk around the thought, the subject, love matters. Love matters. Let's pray. Father God, we come once again in Jesus' name just to say thank you. Lord, even at right now, in spite of the turbulence and difficulties and challenges that we face in this world, in this society, in our communities, in our churches, we thank God for Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We thank God that even when we are somewhat confused, somewhat discombobulated, somewhat out of the norm, we can look to you and you'll fix it. Lord, even now, bring our wandering thoughts and minds into subjection to you in the person of our Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would allow us to focus not on what is not, but what is. Help us through this message today to grow in the grace and saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Convict, convince, and convert. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray, with thanksgiving always. And all of God's people said amen, 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 and amen. Love matters. That's what we read in verse 37 of Matthew 22, when Jesus replied, when somebody asked him the greatest, what is the greatest commandment? He said, you got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And understand that has to do with worship. Amen, somebody. It has to do with praise and worship. Loving the Lord with all our hearts means loving him on good days and on bad days. That's right. And every day in between. Yeah. We don't just love him when we feel like it. That's right. It means having an eternal love affair with the Lord. Loving God with all our life is not a wishy-washy love. It's not controlled by our feelings. Amen. How many of us didn't feel like getting up this morning, but you still love the Lord, didn't you? How many of us didn't feel like coming to church this morning, but you still love the Lord, didn't you? How many of us have problems that we got to deal with this morning? But you still love the Lord.
That's right.
Am I right about it? Understand, to commit to give your all and all to the Lord means what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the New Living Translation. I said, to commit to giving your all and all to the Lord means what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the New Living Translation. Verse 1 of Romans 12 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies, don't miss that, to God because of all he has done for you. Yeah. Has God done anything for you?
Yeah.
It says, let them, our bodies, be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. And this is truly the way to worship him. Verse 2 says, here we go, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. What is God saying? He's saying to somebody, when you get upset, don't copy the customs and ways of the world. When you get disappointed or discouraged, don't copy the way the world handles stuff. Don't you go get drunk. Don't you get high. Don't you revert back to the old you when God is trying to teach you something. And every time God starts to teach you, you fall back and regress instead of experience progress. Verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God, here we go, transform you. God wants to change you, somebody, into a new person by changing the way you think. Then, when he changes the way you think, you will learn, verse 2, to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Is that helping any somebody today? It might be convicting, and that's also good. Understand, the essence of the idea is that we are to be willing to offer ourselves to God. And the truest sacrifice that we can make is to try, at least try, and live according to God's purpose for your life and mine. If God has to say it in his word, then that means somebody needs to know you ain't trying hard enough.
That's right.
Oh, y'all ain't gonna help me. Somebody needs, if God's got to speak it in his word, then he wants us to know that we're not trying hard enough to do what God tells us to do. And stop coming with that cop out, I can't do it. You can do all things through Christ. What it is, you trying to do something in and of yourself and you can't do it. That's why the Bible says, don't copy the ways of the world. Don't act like you used to act when you say you know him. Well, you ever heard somebody say, act like you know? I said the truest sacrifice we can make is to try and live according to his purposes for our lives. By the way, this is going to be a two-part message, so y'all ain't got to worry about taking too long. Notice, living implies life. And life is an everyday experience. As a matter of fact, if I could venture to say, some of us had to traverse some difficult circumstances to get here this morning. Y'all ain't got to tell. Some of us had to overcome some barriers to get here this morning.
That's right.
Am I right about it?
Yeah.
And offering ourselves to God is not something that you should be contained or concerned with for 60-minute worship.
Yeah.
I know not in here, but in other churches. You got some people that confine their worship to just being in church for an hour.
Yeah.
You ought not be guilty of that if you call yourself a believer. You mean to tell me the only Jesus somebody gonna see in you is the Jesus that you portray or you present in the church? What about when you walk out on Bruner Street? Who are they gonna see, Jekyll or Hyde? Who they gonna see when you go through the corner store? You just spent an hour in church. But who they gonna see at the poppy store when they give you the wrong change? Y'all ain't gonna help me. You say you know the Lord. Who they gonna say when you go to Walmart and they take it too long and you waiting? Who they gonna see when you start cuffing and fussing? Y'all looking at me like you guilty. A living sacrifice. It's not confined to 4210 Germantown Avenue. A living sacrifice is seen in the house. Who your children gonna see when you cussing each other out? After you come to church and made them come. No wonder they can't deal with that hypocrisy. How much hypocrisy? A 5-year-old knows something wrong. I didn't say perfect. But they can see when you're not even practicing. See, life is an everyday experience. A living sacrifice is a sacrifice that is alive and continuous. Are y'all getting this?
Yeah.
In action.
Yeah.
That means our worship occurs not just in the sanctuary.
Yeah.
He talking about sanctuary relationships. Because we expected to act. Some of us can act real spiritual for about an hour. I'm not being perfect. So that's why some of us run out right after service, because they said, I done already held myself for an hour. I can't let you reveal. I can't reveal who I really am. So I don't want to talk to nobody.
That's right.
Yeah. That's why I didn't say it. But that's why a lot of people run out of church. They don't want you to talk to them because they only can talk religious jargon, but for so long. If you talk to them right after church, the old man, the old woman might step up.
That's right.
True biblical worship. Am I doing all right?
Amen.
True biblical worship doesn't mean that we walk around. Listen, I said true biblical worship does not mean that we're supposed to walk around with our hands up in the air all the time, praising God and shouting hallelujah.
Yeah.
Listen, somebody. That's an extreme.
Yeah.
If I was to be around somebody that every time I talk, I said, well, the Philly going, oh, hallelujah. But wait a minute. I don't know who the Eagles going to do. Oh, for hallelujah. Wait a minute. I might get, we might, 4th of July. Oh, praise God, hallelujah! Dang. You taking it to an extreme. And then they come with this, well, God is good, and he is, but it don't take all that. Suppose Jesus didn't walk around talking about hallelujah, my God, my Father. He didn't do that. He was deliberate and intentional. It's a time to talk, and it's a time to shut up. It's a time to walk, talk, and then it's a time to let your speaking be manifest in your walk.
That's right.
When you didn't even say a word.
That's right.
Imagine you working on a job, and you're supposed to be bringing out a report, and they hear you in there talking about, praise God, hallelujah, you fired. He hired you to come in there with your religious dogma. Hired you to come in there and do some work. Suppose you sitting home, talking about I'm home, you know, do work from home. And they, you know, they got pictures and watching you talking about praise the Lord, hallelujah, Jesus. You fired. It's extreme and it's disruptive. Is that making sense? When you do that too much and too often, guess what is a sign of? Mental or emotional illness and immaturity. When you walk around, that's all you do. That ain't spiritual. That's out of order. They asked me to pray yesterday at an event, and I went up. If I'd have went up to them, hallelujah, my baby, hallelujah, my cup of tea, my time of tuba. Out of nowhere. And guess what? That does have a place in a certain context, but you can't force that just because. Well, that's the way I am. No, that's not the way God wants you, because you might run people away instead of attracting them.
That's right.
True worship. Somebody say true worship. Is our personal linking of faith and works. The offering of everyday life to God. True worship. And it isn't something that takes place only in church. Hello. Real, true worship sees the whole world as the temple of the living God. Real worship is the offering of everyday life to God. A person may say, I'm going to church to worship God, but he or she should also be able to say, I'm going to my office to worship him. I'm going to school to worship him. I'm going to the corner store to worship him. I'm going to the Chinese restaurant to worship him. I'm not going to cuss them out because they didn't give me enough gravy. Y'all missing this thing. I didn't say you couldn't complain, but if you're a worshiper, if you're a true believer, come on somebody, love matters. How you going to eventually lead somebody to Christ and all they know is that you keep coming in cussing them out? I remember when I used to go across to the Chinese store frequently. I don't do it anymore. But when I would go in and say things like, can I have y'all know, a foo young or shrimp rice or something. And I would say, thank you. And all they would look, thank you. Have a blessed day. Blessed day. Because they have so many antagonists that come in and cuss them out. I know, listen, they might do cheat you, but if you represent God, you got to represent him right. If it's that bad, don't go in there.
That's right.
Oh, God.
You're right.
To worship affects everything we do and everywhere we go. I already said worship is not just a church activity. It's a life activity. It's not a once a week affair. As a matter of fact, A.W. Tozer, a pastor, author, magazine editor, and spiritual mentor who is now deceased, he said, if you can't worship God 7 days a week, you don't worship him one day a week.
Jesus.
Did y'all hear that? You don't worship him. Well, I worship him. Wait a minute, what's the day? Well, I give him Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, but I ain't gonna worship him on Wednesday and Thursday or Friday because I got the party. I'm talking about love matters. And in our loving God with our all in all, because that's what Jesus said, that's the great first commandment. That love ought to spill over into or be seen and demonstrated everywhere you go. If people can't put their hand on what you exactly are, who you are, as far as it relates to your relationship with God, they ought to say there's something sweet about you. There's something different. Am I right about it? They ought to be able to say something. That's why we can't get enough of Bible study or Sunday school. Hello, somebody. Just coming to Sunday school might keep you from doing some things and saying some things that you ought not say. Just a Bible study on a Wednesday might make the rest of your week. True love produces positive feelings. Positive feelings negate loneliness, anxiety, and depression. And without love, listen, we cannot find intimacy nor form strong relationships with our families and friends or our community. A world without love is a dangerous world. I'm going somewhere. Love can be hard to define. If I were to ask everybody here, I'll do it at Bible study sometime, what does love mean to you? We'd have different explanations and definitions. I could put 10 people and say, when you hear the word love, what's it mean to you? And you might think, well, everybody, no, everybody don't think love means the same thing. There's no particular one, particular concrete definition of love that fits everybody. Because we have different perspectives. And our perspectives come as a result of our experiences and our background. How you were raised will give you a perspective about love. Look, y'all listen, looking at me funny. Remember Tina Turner, from her perspective, she said love is only a secondhand emotion. And some people listen to, what's love? Yeah. Y'all were trying to get me to go in the flesh. I ain't going there. Love got to do with it. Got everything to do with it. I don't know what the cheap love you talking about, but that ain't the love that Jesus said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul. You talking about a man, some other people? You talking about laying up in bed? That ain't love. That's lust. Ooh, I'm in trouble. You make good love. What kind of love you talking about? Y'all looking at me funny. You're like you ain't listening to nothing. Is that what the love God is talking about? No. I don't know what everybody else's ultimate decision is about what love is or is not. But I'm convinced that everybody needs the love that God's talking about. I'm talking about, don't forget this, love matters. Y'all look at somebody and say, he's talking about love matters. Love matters. I don't want you to lose that train of thought. Somebody asked, what did he preach about? He talked about love matters. That ought to provoke somebody to say, let me check it out. Ought to have an increase in my views. Hello, somebody. You ought to go home, and if the Lord blesses you today, you ought to go home and tell your neighbors, tell your family, check out what Pastor preached about, that they can see. You say you love your family. If this message blesses you, you ought to want to bless the people around you. Tell them to check it out. To love and to be loved are basic human needs. As a matter of fact, most people, if not everybody, would dread the thought of going through life's ups and downs, ins and outs, without the presence or comfort of being loved. Can you imagine living in life that nobody loved you? Think about it, somebody. Could you imagine, or can you imagine, not having somebody to console you? You know, I already said, even with a husband and wife, sex is not the answer when you need biblical love. Because you can have intimate sex and still wake up, after that fight and fuss. Oh my God, y'all looking at, anybody out there know what I'm talking about? That's a temporary band-aid thing. When times are hard, you need and you want somebody who you know genuinely loves and cares for you. I'm talking about love matters. Understand also, when we talk about love matters, love can also be misplaced, misused, and misguided. Are you listening? What you call love And what an individual may call love can be misplaced, y'all want to get this, misused, and misguided. In other words, yes, love can be an exciting emotion in its time, but it can be abused, and frequently it is. Can I give you some examples of how it can be abused? Can y'all let me give you some? See, love is abused when a person entertains the thought that he or she can get by with doing evil under the guise of, well, God loves me, therefore he won't do anything or punish me for what I'm doing. Not in here, but you got people that say, since God hadn't done anything, you know, I've been out there, I've been hanging out, I've been running women and running men, I've been getting drunk, I've been snorting cocaine, I've been doing, and God ain't done nothing, so it must mean that he's okay with it. Yeah. No, God is long-suffering.
Yeah.
And if you insist upon doing it, God has a way of breaking you down.
That's right.
Am I right about it?
Amen.
Love is also abused when it's used, listen, as a defense mechanism. Are y'all getting this?
Yeah.
Are y'all getting this?
Yeah.
When you use it as a defense mechanism, let me give you. If you are, for instance, if you are criticized or reprimanded by someone for something wrong you did or said, oftentimes it triggers a defense response where you might say to that person, you're not a loving person. Some people can't handle the truth. Oh, I wish I... They'll say you're not a loving person when in fact it's just the opposite. I'm showing you how much I love you by not allowing you to continue in the way you're going.
Yeah.
Is that making sense to anybody? In other words, criticism or reprimand might reflect really a serious level of stubborn ingratitude on that individual,
yeah,
or reveal your ignorance or lack of knowledge of the scripture. Oh my God. Y'all remember Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 and 6? Can I go on a little longer? Hebrews 12, chapter 12, verse 5 and 6, the NLT says, and have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, listen, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. Verse 6, Hebrews 12, for the Lord disciplines, listen, those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. Stop being envious of other people who are not serving God, who seem to be getting away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I ain't did half of what they did, and God won't let me, because God loves you like that. And the people that keep on doing that, they have rejected him. But their day, you ever heard this? Our day will come. Your day, their day will come. In other words, sin clouds a person's vision. It distorts reality. It generates, listen, a defensive, retaliatory disposition. Sin will turn true love, the agape kind of love, into something ugly and hateful. With all of that being said, of all possible emotions, love is the greatest. Hello, so I wish I had some help in here. 1 Corinthians 13:13, New Living Translation says, three things will last forever. Y'all want to get this? Three things. Faith, hope, here it is, and love. Those things will last forever. And in verse 37 of Matthew 22, we read it, Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with some of your heart, all of your heart, some of your soul, all of your soul, with some of your, one translation said, some of your strength, And then, but no, all of your strength and all of your mind. God just keeps on throughout scripture commanding, don't wish that word, commanding his people. In other words, if you claim to belong to him, then God commands you to love. Is y'all, anybody listening? If you say you belong to him, then you have to accept his command to love. Deuteronomy 6 and 5 says, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. I told you it's throughout the scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 1 says, you must love the Lord your God and always obey his requirements, his decrees, his regulations. Here we go. And his commands. Then Joshua 23 and 11. See, it's not just a New Testament thing. It's in the Old Testament. Joshua 23:11, New Living Translation said, so be very careful. God says you need to be careful to love the Lord your God. Is God saying to somebody, you got misplaced love? You in love with that man, that woman, and God says, that's misplaced love. They're going to keep on letting you down. Oh, I'm in trouble now. Oh, my God. Aren't you sick and tired of being sick and tired, somebody? Anybody in here ever get sick and tired of being sick and tired of the same old, same old? Don't forget in Matthew 22, verse 39 says there's a second command. Because we like, well, I love the Lord. No, the second command is equally important. It says, love your neighbor. Love that person that's getting on your last nerve. Wow. Anybody, come on. I mean, I ain't found the verse last nerve, but anybody have anybody get on your last nerve? Yeah. Not all you, y'all, keep on living. You better be honest. I done heard, had people, Sister Evelyn, to get on my last nerve. I'm about sick and tired of. But God says, love your neighbor as yourself.
That's right. That's right.
What does that mean? Tell somebody, say, oh, that's difficult. Somebody's looking at you and rolling their eyes. Somebody that's trolling you, talking about you like a dog.
Jesus.
And you walk up to them, you already know. They don't know you know. They've been dogging you. And then they see you say, hey, praise the Lord, how you doing? Y'all ain't never had that happen to you. Anybody ever had somebody walk up to you and you know they've been, but they don't know that you know, Crystal. You didn't, they've been dogging you. How you think I feel when somebody come to church and say, hey, Pastor Pointer, we love you, or I love you. And people done told me, no, it's all you got on Facebook. He ain't nothing but a hound dog talking all the time. You love me. Love is action. How you gonna say you love me and you know I need some money, you won't help me? Wow. How you gonna say you love me and it's not that you broke because you got it for everything else? You don't tell me what to do with all. That's an attitude. That's not a loving attitude. Because God blessed you to be a blessing to somebody other than yourself. I got to move on. Who is God talking to this morning? Give me a few more minutes for part one. I'm talking about love matters. I hear somebody when I say God commands, when the Bible says, I hear somebody say, but how can love be commanded? How can we make ourselves love somebody when they hard to love? You know anybody, don't mention their name, don't even look at them. You know anybody that's hard to love? Hard. Raise your hand, y'all acting like, anybody know anybody It's hard to love that joker. I didn't cuss, I said joker. Hard to love him or her. Well, we need to understand that since God commands it, that it must be within our power in Christ to love. You can't love outside of him. Because now the human part of you takes over. But in Christ ruling, the Holy Spirit ruling in you, you can do it. With that being said, therefore, love is a decision at some point. Hello, somebody. You gotta decide to love when you don't feel like it. I don't feel like loving him. Matter of fact, I don't feel like listening to no more of this sermon. I thought you said 5 minutes. I got you on my timer. That ain't love. You just heard here in this sermon and you already talking about, I wish he would shut up. Oftentimes with that decision, we know that love will be accompanied by feelings. But emotion in and of itself is not the basis. Don't get me wrong. It's not the basis of love, how I feel. You know, sometimes we feel when somebody does good things, we feel like wrapping them and hugging them and stuff like that. And then when they don't do stuff, we don't want no parts of them. That ain't the love. Love is not confined to a feeling. Am I right about it? I'm hastening to close. We're called to love God and to love other people even if we don't always feel like it. And the Greek word for love used in reference to God is agape. That's an empathetic, selfless love. It's a love that loves in spite of, not because of. Y'all remember John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. Love gives. His only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, the son, should not perish but have everlasting life. And then 1 John 4:19, New King James Version says, we love him. Why? Because he first love us. Am I right about it? 1 John 4:16, New Living Translation says, we know how much God loves us. Listen, and we have put our, here we go, trust in his love, because God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. I hope I'm somebody getting the Bible. In other words, God has placed his capacity to love within our hearts. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends, according to John 15 and 13. Let me see if looking at a story, and I might close on this point, we'll see. Looking at a story in the Bible along with certain biblical characters might help somebody to better understand how and why love matters. Y'all walking with me? Is everybody walking with me? How about, are you walking with me? I'm reminded of the story of Ruth, Nisi, Naomi. I'm reminded of the story of Ruth in the Bible that was brought to my attention after I attended a recent presentation of the story of Ruth yesterday. Notice people often describe the book of Ruth as a love story. And certainly it contains elements of two people growing in love in the unique way of their ancient New Eastern culture. But understand, y'all listening? As Ruth and Boaz's love story unfolded, we find out that it's about more than just the love shared between two people. It's more than that. In other words, ultimately, Ruth's story, the story, is about God's amazing love for everybody. All humankind. Specifically, listen, his desire for his people to not only experience his love for them, but for those same people, after you've experienced God's love, to you to reach out to other people to let them to know about God's love. You know how God loves you. Now go out to somebody that's hungry, somebody that's hurting, somebody that's wounded, somebody that's in depression, somebody that's ready to give up, and let them know that God loves them too. Elder would have been getting ready to help me. God wants us, in other words, to make it known that his love is available not just for a few, but for everybody who is willing to accept his love. Remember, y'all need to get this. In Ruth chapter 3, I said you need to get this. Verses 7 to 9, the New Living Translation. It talks about Boaz, who was a wealthy man from Bethlehem, mentioned in the genealogy of Christ in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. In other words, Boaz, some of y'all know this, was what is called a type of Christ. There can be individuals that are types of Christ. He was one of the main characters in the Bible, in the book of Ruth, a passage of scripture full of life's lessons and prophetic implications. Verse 7 of Ruth chapter 3 says, after Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, I saw it, Lisa. He laid down at the far end of the pile of grain and he went to sleep. Then Ruth came quietly, uncovered his feet, and laid down at his feet. And the Bible says in chapter 3, verse 8, around midnight, Boaz suddenly woke up and he turned over and he was surprised to find a woman lying at his feet. Verse 9, guess what he said? Who are you? She said, I'm your servant, Ruth. She replied, when he said, who are you? And he asked, I'm your servant. She said, I'm your servant. She replied, spread the corner of your covering over me. I'm going somewhere. For you are my family redeemer. Oh, Lord, you'll help me. Ruth's request for Boaz to spread the corner of his garment over her in Ruth 3 and 9 had several meanings, each of which highlights her desire to be a faithful part of the community of God's people. If you allow enough of Jesus to be seen in your behavior, sooner or later, it's going to attract other people.
That's right. That's right.
To want some of that Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
Notice the word for corner in Hebrew also means wings. So Ruth was asking Boaz, listen, Boaz, protect me like a bird protects her young. Boaz, be my redeemer, as God commanded in the Torah, the Pentateuch, or the five books of Moses. You do know a redeemer is somebody charged with the duty of paying a ransom, restoring your rights, and avenging your wrongs. So Ruth was asking Boaz to protect me, my kinsman redeemer. Protect me like a bird protects her young. So that in your actions, your provision, and your family, I will find God's protection. And she said, and take me as your wife. For in your protection, I will find God's provision and protection. As a clause, this love story shows first and foremost the love and faithfulness that Boaz demonstrated first for God. How you gonna love somebody else right? If you don't love God right, y'all missing this. How you gonna love your husband right, or your wife right, or your husband to be right, if you don't love God right? See, when you have God's love, God's love protects, it provides, it forgives, it helps, it delivers, and it's constant. It's not a wishy-washy love. God loves you and loves me when we go wrong. He didn't love the wrong, but he still loves us. Am I right about it? I said that love matters. Am I right about it? Love matters for you and you and you and you and you and you and me. Love matters. I heard, I said I heard, while I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply staying within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now safe, 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 safe. Am I? Love matters. Love lifted me. Give God some praise. Y'all got to come back next week for part two as we wrestle on our feet. As we wrestle on our feet, if you can. Love matters. God is talking to somebody this morning. You have somehow hidden your love for the Lord and therefore your love for other people in a corner, in a box, underneath the mattress. You hidden it somewhere because you said you didn't want to lose it. Well, God doesn't want you to hide his love. He wants you to pull it out and use it and demonstrate his love.